Let us turn again to Hosea chapter 14 and consider verses 1 and 2, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Hosea 14 from verse 1. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Well, it is getting near the end of Hosea's prophecy. And he addresses this exhortation to the people of Israel. We say it's one final exhortation, not altogether, but in such explicit terms, a final exhortation to Israel that they would return, that they would turn from their evil ways, that they would turn from their idols to their God. And we never know when a last exhortation will come to us, but everyone that does, we should treat it as if it would be the last exhortation. We should treat it as if we would never again have the opportunity of turning to God through Christ. We have fallen by our iniquities, but we are to take with us words, the form of communication that God has created. And whatever language people might speak, the Lord understands it. We are to say to the Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So shall we render the calves of our lips. So shall we render praise and thanksgiving to the God of heaven. And that's what we are to do when once we're received into the kingdom of God. If that takes place, we are to thank the Lord for his great blessing. And what a blessing that the Lord would deliver us from our fallen condition and bring us into his kingdom, into the safety of his kingdom, and show us mercy. You see, we were singing in the psalm, the Lord our God is merciful and he is gracious. Perhaps that's the form of words in Psalm 103. It doesn't matter, because the Bible is full of such expressions, and we should be thankful to God for his mercy. Let us notice three main points this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. The first is that the need for a return was because they had fallen by their iniquity. That was true of Israel. It's true of people today. We need to return to God. Sinners need to return to God because they have fallen by their iniquity. Then, secondly, how were they to return? And there is instruction given. Take with you words, turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We're to go to the Lord in prayer for the sake of Christ. Now that Christ has come, that becomes more prominent should become more prominent in the prayers that we offer. And then thirdly, this matter of thanksgiving. So shall we render the calves, the sacrifices, that we may offer from our lips. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. There was that under the Old Testament way of worship. It's a spiritual thing, as far as the New Testament way of worship is concerned. It's not a case of taking an animal from the flock or the herd any longer. It's a case of thanking God from our hearts sincerely. We have much to thank the Lord for, but especially if we have obtained mercy, if we have turned to the Lord by God's grace, if we have been drawn by Almighty power, then what great need there is in our part to express ourselves in thanksgiving. Three things then, the Lord helping us. First, the need to return because they had fallen by their iniquity. Then, secondly, how were Israel to return? How are we to return to God? And that is spelt out for us, particularly in verse two, I should say. And then thirdly, there's the matter of thanksgiving. First, we are to return because we have fallen, because there are iniquities that need to be forgiven and iniquities that we need to depart from. Now, we might say about the religion that they had some outward form of it, but there was nothing in their hearts. Is that the case with us? Do we have heart religion? Is there a worshipping of God in our souls? Or is it just something outward? Coming and going to the place of worship, for instance, and other things of that nature. Or are we concerned to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear? You see, he is one who says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. But, you see, there's so often in the Word of God the word but, and but coming in and putting a completely different light on the matter. If the Lord is speaking about our departure from him, then it may be pointing to what he can do, as you have it in Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul speaks about the way that these people had been on. They were on a way of departure from God. They were on a way of false religion. But the Lord had mercy on them. But what we have here is the Lord was demanding mercy or desiring mercy rather than sacrifice. I desired mercy and not sacrifice. And what the Lord is saying there is, I desired mercy rather than sacrifice. You see, sacrifice was outward. The showing of mercy was rather an attitude. It was something inward. And you see, what did the Lord put first? What did the Lord treat as more important? It was the mercy. And that people would appreciate the mercy that God is able to show. That's what we should be, how we should be thinking. That the Lord would be satisfied with what he has put in our souls, and that we would value the mercy that he shows. Well, I desired mercy rather than sacrifice. They were ready enough, perhaps, with their sacrifices. But you see, he wanted spiritual activity. Yes. But, he goes on, they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. That's what men do. But we could take it like this, and that's the way it is in the margin. They, like Adam, have transgressed my covenant. Now, it might seem a little surprising that the two translations are offered, men and Adam, but the answer is that the word translated men is in fact just the word Adam. And that might well be what was intended. It's true whichever way you read it, but they, like Adam, have transgressed my covenant. God made a covenant with Adam. Would Adam abide in that covenant? Would he keep the covenant? Would he value the blessings that God was showing him? Would he value the blessings? That was the question. God entered into a covenant with Adam. Yes. And you see, if he had kept that covenant, he would have been sure of permanent blessings. He would have been kept on a firm foundation. But he didn't keep that covenant. The evil one came into the picture, as it were. The evil one came into the garden. And he spoke to Eve first. He got her to do his bidding. And then the evil one came to Adam and got him to do the devil's bidding. Yes. They were both tempted into sin. Both tempted into sin. Oh, sad, 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 you might say. And it was. But where we are now. But you see, there was another covenant. And we'll not go into that just now, as yet anyway. We come over it again. But what I'm saying is, the Lord in mercy, and we might well think of this great matter of mercy. I tried to stress it this morning. Let me stress it just now. The Lord our God is merciful. And therefore we should go to him. We should be ready to go to one who deceives people who do not deserve his mercy. That's the thing. We do not deserve anything from the hand of God. And he acts mercifully. He shows his mercy to people who, like us, are needy. How thankful we should be that that is the way God has revealed himself. That he did not only reveal himself as the God of justice, the God of a broken covenant, that he went on to speak about a new covenant, another covenant, a covenant of mercy or a covenant of grace. Are we valuing that covenant? Are we asking that the Lord would meet with us on the basis of that covenant, that everlasting covenant? Well, we're speaking about sin just now. We're speaking about the fall. We're speaking about Adam transgressing the covenant. And there was a covenant with Israel. And the Lord was looking down on Israel. And he was seeing that Israel had broken the covenant. Israel had gone their own way. Israel had not kept the covenant. But they had gone after false gods. And whatever it is with people today, people who attend church in particular, yes, we are to think of them. We are to think of ourselves if we are in that category, as going our own ways, worshipping false gods, worshipping the amusements, the entertainments that we can follow, careless about our souls, not anxious to turn back to God, not anxious to have him as our God. Well, how is it with us? I leave the question with you. How is it with yourself this evening? Have you broken the covenant? But have you returned? You see, the Lord is speaking to you as one who is needing salvation. We all need salvation. But some here have returned. They have turned unto the Lord. They have taken with them words. They have turned. They have said, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. But have we? Let us be asking ourselves, and let us be concerned to return unto the Lord. And we should take to heart what a great separation there is between sinners and God. You may remember the flaming sword that turned every way, that was placed in the Garden of Eden. The flaming sword. Who could get back into the Garden of Eden through that flaming sword? Who can get back through the justice of God to heaven? Who? We need a mediator. We need one to represent us. We need one who can appear for us within the boundaries of the covenant of grace. And what the Lord is saying about those who will not return is this. You have it in chapter 7. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. They do not consider. Are we considering the seriousness of our position? We need to consider. We need to turn it over in our minds. We need to lay it to our hearts. Yes, we need to set it to our heart, as the expression is. Sometimes it is translated consider, to lay it to heart. Well, do we lay it to heart? Do we turn it over in our minds? Do we feel the authority of God's word? God is speaking to us. That's it. God is showing us our need. He shows that to us in the word of God, in the various chapters we might read, in church or at home. Are we considering them? Are we taking them to heart? Are we asking the Lord to bless them to us? Are we asking the Lord to awaken us? Or do we prefer just to go on without considering these things? Secondly, the matter of a return. Yes. And the first thing one would say is, they were to acknowledge God as the only source of help. There's a very significant verse in chapter 13. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. O Israel, or whatever name you wish to put in there, put your own in there. And the Lord is speaking to you and saying, you have destroyed yourself. You have followed Adam. You have not considered the way in which you should walk. But I have not cast you away yet. That's what the Lord is saying. I have not cast you away. I have made a provision. There's help in me. And let me stress this just now, or try to, that the Lord is, we might think sometimes about help as just an extra bit of power. That if somebody helps you, they're just giving you a little assistance. They're just giving you a little help. You do most of the work yourself, but the help is welcome, but it doesn't amount to very much. What does the Lord say when he comes to help us? when he comes to help us spiritually, when he comes and he says, in me is thy help, he's saying, I will do it all for you. Sinner, come to Christ. The Lord is inviting you. The Lord is saying, I will do it all for you. And may we do that. May we be so drawn by God's almighty power that we would indeed turn to him who is able to help us, who is able to do everything for us, who is able to bring us all the way from here to heaven by his power, not ours, by his power. Or are you despairing of salvation? Take a look to God and what he is able to do and what he has announced that he is willing to do, and think of how he is saying, I will be thy help. I will do it all for you. I will take you by the hand and bring you all the way to everlasting glory. Do not worry. It's as if he was saying, hey, because of how weak you are, do not worry because of all you have done to destroy yourself. Do not worry because of all the fall that you had in Adam, and all the way you have been falling away from God ever since. I hesitate a bit about saying do not worry about it, but what I mean is, if we would look away from ourselves and look to Christ, you see, then we would not need to be concerned about that side of it. We are to be sorry for our sins. We are to repent. We are to look at the sad mess that we have made of our lives. The sad mess that we have made of our lives. But you see, God is able to rescue us. There are some here whom God has rescued. What reason for thankfulness, as we will notice. Yes. And they are to come to themselves. They are to see that God is able to help. But they are not to look to others. They are to say, as you have it in verse 3, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are only gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. No doubt the Israelites were leaning upon Assyria to rescue them from the other powers, the other hostile powers of the area. No, it's to God they must look, and if we are thinking about salvation, they were not to look to idols of any kind. They were not to look to any false gods. They were to say, in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. And the fatherless were, the word fatherless was proverbial for those who were in need. Fatherless. Where would they go in their need when they became fatherless? No one to earn money for them. In thee, the fatherless findeth mercy. Where are we to go when we feel our weakness, our feebleness in terms of finding salvation? We're to say, in thee, the fatherless findeth mercy. And that's what I am. I'm just a fatherless child. I have no one to look to. But there's mercy to be found in thee. O Lord, for Christ's sake, give me mercy, show me mercy. That's what we're to be saying. Yes. The Lord so earnestly invites us time and again, in one set of words and another. He says, for instance, in Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee. If you have trouble because of your soul, the Lord is saying to you this evening, call upon me in that day of trouble, when you cannot see the way of salvation, when you cannot see Christ Jesus, when you cannot open your blind eyes, still call upon me. Call upon me in your weakness. Call upon me in your fallen condition. Call upon me. The Lord is saying, fatherless though you are, I will become a father to you. and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yes, come, sin. And although you would have come 40 times already, the figure doesn't matter. Although you would have come any number of times already, come again, come this evening. The Lord is inviting you warmly, sincerely. Come then, weak though you are, though you cannot put the one step in front of another like an old person. And he or she is trying to move along the floor, perhaps cannot go outside anymore, and just puts one foot forward, a very small distance, and then can put the other foot forward, just a smaller distance. Yes, but the Lord is saying to the sinner, if there's any movement at all, and if there's no movement at all, put one foot in front of the other. Come unto me, and if you get your eye on Christ, you see, your feet will follow. To put it like that, if you got your eye on Christ, your feet will follow. Your feet will carry you. And in using these words, what I'm trying to say is the spiritual equivalent will take place. The Lord drawing sinners, the Lord giving them grace, the Lord giving them strength. Yes, he is saying, take with you words. And what good will their words do? Their words have nothing in them. Their words have no merit in them. That's true. But you see, they are to take with them words. We are to be praying. We are to be trying to pray. We are trying to make use of the scriptures. That's what we're to try to do. Not looking to ourselves, not looking to any arm of flesh, but to be making use of the word of God. Take with you words. Call unto the, turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity. You see, I'm sure I've pointed out often enough how many petitions there are in the scriptures for us to use. There are petitions here. Take away all iniquity. I'm guilty. Take away my guilt. Take away my sin. Take away its power. Take away all iniquity and receive me graciously. We'll add something from the New Testament for the sake of Christ. It's because of what he did when he came into this world to suffer in the place of sinners. That's what he's saying to us. Yes, receive us graciously for the sake of Christ. We're not to be looking to ourselves. That will not do us any good. And our prayers will not save us. That's true. But we're to come. That's the Savior's call. That's the Lord's call. You see, he is able to put power into the words we use. Take with you words. Turn unto the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Whatever prayer it is that you find in the word of God, Psalm 119 is full of them. But it's not the only source. Let me point you to the publican's prayer. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And surely that one is suitable to us when we have mentioned that God is merciful, and try to emphasize how merciful God is. God, be merciful to me. God who is merciful, be merciful to me. Oh, can you say that this evening? Try to say it, weak as you may be, weak as you may feel, and you've nothing to bring with you. Well, do not try to take anything with you. It's Christ's mercy that you are to look to. It's Christ and his finished work that is the basis for your salvation. Look to him as the one who in his mercy came into this world to save sinners. Yes. Or you can take the petition you find in Psalm 41. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Now I'm quoting what I have here, but this is what I wanted to quote just now. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Heal my soul. My soul is corrupt. My soul doesn't work properly. My soul is guilty. My soul is diseased, for the disease that loathsome is, so keeps my soul, fills my loins with pain. And in my weak and weary flesh, no soundness doth remain. So heal my soul. Thou who art the great healer, thou who canst work by thy Holy Spirit to heal my soul. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Yes, take away all iniquity, take away all guilt, take away all the disease of sin. Heal me. Oh, how much reason we have all the way through our lives to be asking that the Lord would heal us, that the Lord would not leave us to ourselves. Heal my soul. Yes. My soul is corrupt. My soul is a disease. I got it through Adam. Yes. And though that was true, we can't blame Adam altogether, because we are content enough with the disease we have inherited from Adam. How long did we go on without thinking of the need to turn away from our sin, to turn back to the Lord? Yes, but you see, we need a basis on which to turn to the Lord. What's that basis? It's this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. Yes, because we are sinners, we need to be put right. So do thou do that work. That's what we need to be asking. Lord, do the work thyself. We are poor and needy. We cannot put ourselves right, but the Lord is able. We are poor and needy. Yes, but the Lord is able to put us right. Oh, what a great blessing. There's hope, you see. Do not despair. There are no grounds for despair when it is made known that the Lord our God is merciful. There are no grounds for despair when it is made known that Christ Jesus finished the work that he came into the world to accomplish. Yes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's a sure foundation. Yes. He gave himself for us. That's Titus 2. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. That's an indication that the disease is being healed. The great physician from heaven looking down on the sinner and making that sinner a new creature in Christ Jesus. What reason to be thankful. Yes, and we might well pray, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. But let us turn to this matter of thankfulness. So shall we render the calves of her lips. When we have been brought to this prayer, the Holy Spirit has been working in our souls, if that's what has taken place, then we will be ready to offer some degree of thankfulness to the Lord for all his goodness to us. Yes. Now, in our prayers, we look for saving mercies on the basis of God's mercy. Saving blessings on the basis of God's mercy. And so we have the prayer that I mentioned already. God be merciful to me a sinner. Yes. And you see, we are to go on. And we are to go on offering up our thanksgiving to the Lord. You have it in the last chapter of Hebrews. By him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to the Lord's name, giving thanks to the Lord as he has revealed himself. The fruit of our lips, the calves of our lips. The ideas are fundamentally the same, though expressed differently. You see, when the Lord gives fruit in the soul of a sinner, that fruit may roll on to the soul of that sinner and roll on to the lips of that sinner and be expressed there, be expressed before God, though it will be silent. And no doubt that is how it is many a time. The Lord, who is merciful, you see, it's he that creates a spirit of thankfulness. It's he that enables the sinner to speak, to thank God for all his goodness. And you have that in Psalm 116. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. There was a sacrifice appointed to give thanks to God. There were various regulations, but basically the sacrifice was to be offered up. The person in his need of acknowledging God's goodness, acknowledging God's spiritual goodness, or was it some deliverance in that person's providence? Perhaps a successful delivery of a child, perhaps a deliverance from illness, whatever it might be. Yes, there was this appointment. And so it should be with us, and how thankful we should be. If the Lord has shown mercy upon us, if the Lord has given us some deliverance from illness or some accident, something that has happened in our lives, yes, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So it shall render the calves of her lips, but particularly if the Lord will look upon us in his mercy. If the Lord will look upon us in his mercy and bless us with all spiritual blessings. Oh, to have spiritual blessings and to acknowledge them when the Lord has granted them to us. How thankful we should be when the Lord shows us mercy. How thankful we should be to the Lord if he has delivered us from the fearful pit and the mighty clay, if he has delivered us from going down to destruction, how thankful we should be, how ready we should be to offer to him the calves of our lips. And you see, at the bottom of it all, there is the direction in 2 Corinthians 9 at the end. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift of salvation. Yes, but going further back, the unspeakable gift of Christ Jesus is the one who came into the world to save sinners. How thankful. How we should be lifting up our souls if we have obtained mercy. How we should lift up our souls to God to thank him for giving his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, how poor and weak we are, how much we need the salvation that he has provided. And he is going on providing that salvation. He does not forsake his own people. And he has given them promises. You see, the covenant of grace is a covenant. That's the great motto. The Lord's entering into fellowship with individual human beings is by way of a covenant, with Christ as the surety. We must depend upon Christ. We must look to him and go on looking to him. But you see, this will go on. The Lord has promised that his covenant will never fail. His covenant will not fail. It will go on. The supply of all their needs will go on. And there's all sorts of aspects to that. That we can look to him to supply our needs in every way. Yes. And we should be encouraging each other to come and turn unto the Lord. You know that at the beginning of chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. If the Lord has set a hedge, to use this morning's illustration from this book, a hedge in our way, and if we have torn ourselves on it, if we have injured ourselves in trying to resist, but the Lord has blessed us. The Lord has met with us. If that is the case, then all the more reason to turn unto the Lord. If he has not only torn, if he has not only convinced us of sin, if he has healed us, yes, if he has given us spiritual blessings, what reason for thankfulness? Yes, and what reason for keeping on going to the Lord? Come and let us return unto the Lord. But you see, it goes on. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. Those who have come to Christ, they are to go on coming to Christ. They are to look to Christ again and again and again. Come, then, and look to Christ. Then shall we know. Then shall we know the Redeemer. Then shall we know the way of salvation. Then shall we know how we may be delivered from the wrath to come. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. There's a danger of giving up halfway, or whatever fraction of the way. There's a danger of turning back, though nobody who has truly looked to Christ will turn back. But there's a danger of turning back for all that. Yes. Let us not turn back, but let us keep going. May our eye be truly and sincerely upon Christ. May our eye be upon him always. He is calling to us. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, bless us, heal us, enable us to look to Christ. Deliver us from all evil. Take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And so may we render the calves of our lips. May we put no confidence in anyone whatever. And may we turn to thee, and may we be praying. May we be truly seeking for thee in thy word. Oh, do thou bless thy word this evening and always. Come and speak to us. Come to subdue our iniquity. Come to receive us graciously and to love us freely. Come to work powerfully. May there be an outpouring of thy spirit. Do wonderful things. Do not leave us to ourselves, but pardon us and bless us. And grant that thy Holy Spirit would be poured out here and elsewhere throughout this world. Build up thy cause. Do wonderful things. Bless communion seasons. Bless the preaching of thy word on occasions such as this. Remember the congregations that are weak and grant to be doing good. Pardon us and bless us and keep us and wash away all our sin. Grant that blessing now and always. For Jesus' sake, amen.